All right. Back with Marguerite Delbay from Auckland Democracy Services. So this year is a local body election year where we elect mayor, councillors, local boards and a lot of other groups as well, actually, like health boards and so on. And so, you know, it's a big time for making democratic decisions about our city, about our local community and what goes on there. And the person who's in charge of kind of making that whole thing work is Marguerite Delbay. Good morning, Marguerite. How are you?
Well, thank you. Good morning to you and to all.
So the local body elections, what's the part of that that you oversee, Marguerite?
So, well, basically my team is in charge of making sure the elections happen. We have an independent electoral officer who is under contract and organises all the operational aspect of voting, so making sure that the right candidates are on your voting papers, that you get your voting pack, just getting the candidates' nominations, so the nitty-gritty of the election process. And my team oversees the whole process, but in particular all the communications campaign and the voter engagement campaign, community engagement, candidates information as well. So everything that has to do with letting people know what's happening and why they should participate, and then also looking after our elected members, outboarding and onboarding.
So people will be familiar with the kind of the orange man, the kind of, you know, plasticine election figure from Election NZ. What's the crossover between Auckland Council Democracy Services and Election NZ in regard to this?
So Elections NZ, or the Electoral Commission, is in charge of enrolment for the whole country, for all elections, national elections and local body elections. And they also organise the national elections. But for local election, each council is in charge of the organisation. So we work very closely with them on the enrolment campaign, which is starting right now. So you'll start seeing the orange man appear around Auckland, reminding you to enrol or to check your enrolment details. And but we are organising the voting. And this year, in previous years as well, but this year in particular, we're going to be working very closely with them to offer what we call one-stop shops during the voting periods for those people who forgot to enrol or are not enrol on time to be on the roll. They can cast a special vote, and we'll be in different locations around Auckland where you can both register to be on the electoral roll and vote at the same time.
So you're also running the process of seeking candidates for election. So what's the time frame for that process?
So we are, one of our objectives is to ensure that we've got candidates that reflect the diversity of Auckland. And we also would like some good contests, because that just serves a healthy democracy. So we launched our candidate campaign before Christmas, just to try and get people to think about whether standing and being an elected member in Auckland Council was for them. And then we've had a big push, which is going to culminate on the 19th of July when nominations open. So basically really encouraging people to consider standing and to contribute to their local communities by being an elected member.
So, I mean, here on Waiheke, our experience has been for the five local board positions that we've had, you know, a large number of people standing, I think 17 the first time and perhaps kind of 12 last time. Is that common across the city for the different elected positions?
It varies widely across the city. Waiheke is one of the most engaged communities in Auckland for their local elections. You had a really good turnout in 2016 with 60%, but it really varies across Auckland. And last two elections, we did have some positions that basically were uncontested, so there was only one candidate and they had declared elected right away. And that means that basically voters do not have a choice. So it's always better to try and have a contest, although obviously that makes it harder for the candidates.
So what you said, that one of the things you're aiming for is a diversity of candidates. I mean, there must be a degree to which that, you know, the time commitment and the setup of how the democratic structures operate. I mean, it almost feels sometimes like it becomes the domain of the elderly or the unemployed.
Yes, although there are different time commitments for different positions. So certainly the mayor and the councillor positions are full-time. Local board chairs tend to be full-time as well, but local board members can be part-time. And it can go from, you know, 15 to 25, 30 hours a week, depending on the board and depending how involved you get with the activities of the board. And especially for local boards, some the boards can agree at, on the time that they meet. Some boards do meet in the evenings to enable people who have another professional activity to continue that activity, and also it makes it more accessible to the public. So it really depends on what, you know, what people's sort of commitments are outside of the council. But certainly, it is a time commitment. Having said that, you know, we have had younger people stand and be elected, and it's good to have that diversity of age. And there's something quite interesting that is going to happen in the new term, which is that the Remuneration Authority, which is the body that sets the remuneration of elected members, is introducing the option of a childcare contribution so that younger people and younger mothers who might have some family commitments can more easily participate in their local council's life. So that's an interesting development in trying to help diversity as well.
Yeah, and some of the feedback from elected people has been that the number of hours they put in, you know, there's barely compensation for that. There's also to be a lift in the remuneration for elected people, isn't there?
Sorry, I didn't quite hear you, if I can ask you to repeat.
Yeah, so that, you know, often people say, look, for the number of hours they put in, the money is very little, but isn't there also to be an increase in the remuneration for elected people?
Yes, that's right. So the Remuneration Authority has reviewed the rates, and there will be an increase in the new year. It depends a little bit on the areas of Auckland, because they take several factors into account, like populations and socioeconomic deprivation, some of those aspects, operating budget. But the Remuneration Authority has always said that they consider that serving on your council has an element of civic duty, and so the remuneration is not as much as some people would like, that's for sure.
Do you find, Marguerite, that people have a clear sense of, I suppose, the responsibilities, the commitments, and the position that people get put into when they're elected? I mean, do people go into this naively or with their eyes open?
I think we've got both cases. It really depends how much homework people do before they actually decide to stand. But I think the majority of elected members will tell you that there's always an element that they hadn't realised once they've done the job for a while. As with every job, I suppose, you've got an idea of what you get yourself into, and the reality turns out to be a little different. But so that's one of the reasons why we are really pushing in the candidate campaign, trying to put as much information out there as possible, so that people are well informed of what the reality of the role entails in terms of number of hours, the kind of activities they're going to be involved in.
So,
So
for those people who think, look, they would like to serve the community, or they think the current people aren't serving the community, whatever their motivation is, what's the time frame and how do they go about putting themselves forward?
So nominations open on the 19th of July, and the close, on the 19th of July, and they close a month later. To stand, you have to be nominated by two people who are enrolled in the area where you stand. So if you're standing for Waiheke, you need two eligible voters enrolled in Waiheke, and a $200 deposit, which you may go get back if you're depending on the number of voices that you, number of votes that you get.
And that's to discourage the kind of the frivolous person who's kind of putting up their name, I don't know, to, you know, promote their business or whatever.
That's certain legislation. I think there's a lot of debate about it, whether it's too much or too little. But yes, that's set in the local electoral act.
So let's turn our attention to voter turnout, Marguerite. Now you've had some experience in overseas jurisdictions, haven't you, in elections?
Yes, I was involved in elections in Cambodia and South Africa.
So do you feel a sense of frustration, you know, where you're in places like that, where people have struggled for decades to, you know, to be able to vote, that people don't, you know, people here don't grasp the great kind of opportunity and privilege they have to have a say?
I find it extraordinary that people don't realise that being able to exercise that democratic process is a huge privilege, and one that we shouldn't take for granted. When I was in Cambodia, we were organising the first elections in 25 years, and in a country that sort of had experienced, you know, genocide and civil war, and people were queuing to be able to vote. Same in South Africa, first multiracial elections. You know, people finally had a chance to choose who was going to govern them. And so we take it for granted in New Zealand and some Western democracies, but we shouldn't. I mean, look at what's happening in Hong Kong at the moment with millions and millions of people in the street trying to fight for their rights. And we should never take it for granted. And that's my personal view. So I consider it both a privilege and a civic duty.
So the turnout for local body elections across the country and indeed across Auckland are very low, aren't they?
They are, yes. I mean, Auckland was 38.5% for the 2016 elections.
And you know, you mentioned before that Waiheke stands out as having a relatively high, I mean, you know, we're kind of crowing about 60%, which still seems quite low to me, but relatively that's quite high for local bodies, isn't it?
That it is, yes. So the highest turnout is Great Barrier Island, where there's a small community which is very, very engaged, and the second highest turnout was Waiheke with 60%. Some other areas in the west and in the south were in the low 30s, which is really sad.
So, just kind of coming at this, I suppose, not from a council perspective, but from your experience of elections, do you feel that there is a correlation between the size of the group that's been represented and the level of engagement?
That's difficult to say, although, yes, there is probably a correlation, but more importantly, we've done a lot of research to understand why people are not voting. And what they tell us is, A, they don't necessarily understand what the council does and how their votes will make a difference. So what kind of decision does the council make that will be influenced by elected members, and how will my vote make a difference? Understanding who the candidates are. And so they say, I don't know who to vote for because I don't know these people. And if I decide to vote and I look at the candidates, I don't know what they stand for. So it's really about the opportunity to get that information in front of voters so that they feel well-informed to participate.
So there is the booklet which comes out with, you know, pages and pages and pages of all of these people and their kind of their profiles and so on. What else is done to raise awareness of who's standing and you know and what they're offering?
So we are relaunching our election website. It's live now. You can go and have a look at voteauckland.co.nz. And when the candidates are announced, we'll give them some space on our website to put more information about what they stand for and their, you know, their elections pitch, and also give them the opportunity to put links to other pages that they might have, you know, their Instagram or Facebook pages. So that will be a place where voters can go to see what the candidates stand for. We are, there are community organizations which organize candidate debates, and we'll do our utmost to publicize them so that people know when they happen. And we also have a youth voting program, which is a civics education program. And this time, we're very excited that we've got 7 schools who decided to run candidate evenings as well. So both for the kids and for their parents, obviously. So local schools will be organizing candidate evenings. And then we are, will be sort of working closely with the media to just encourage them to cover the candidates and what they stand for.
Yeah, because, I mean, is there research, you know, when you break down the figures of those who do vote, is there a skewing towards particular parts of the population?
Yes, older people tend to vote more. Homeowners tend to vote more, probably because they pay rates. People who've lived in Auckland for a long time tend to vote more, and people who are socioeconomically better off as well tend to vote more.
Right, yeah. So, okay, so that process and the voting itself starts quite some time before the final election date, doesn't it?
So it is postal voting. And there is a 3-week period between the time the first papers are distributed and the day the election's closed, which is the 12th of October at midday, at noon. So some people still think when we say it's election day on the 12th that it's like the national elections and you've got all day to go to a polling station, but that's not the case. You have to return your ballot paper before noon on the 12th of October. So we really encourage people to vote as soon as they get their papers in the mail. But we will be putting ballot boxes everywhere we can in our service centres, in our libraries, and also have some mobile teams to try and help people as much as possible place their voting papers in a ballot box.
So that postal voting system, is that mandated by legislation, or are there local bodies that do the kind of turn up at the booth system?
Legislation allows for booth voting, so it can be done. No council does it. Postal voting was introduced about 20 years ago because of the decline of voter turnout in the local body elections. And this council in the 1990s, it was Hutt, who tried to go back to booth voting, and they had an abysmal turnout. So since then, councils have been quite shy about going back to booth voting.
Mm. And no one's looked at a combination of the two?
We couldn't do that. It would have to be an either or.
Right. Yep. And from your experience overseas, I suppose you've been involved in national elections overseas, but, you know, is this trend towards kind of lower turnout for local elections, is that something which occurs in other countries, or is that something that's kind of unique to New Zealand?
No, it is happening. I mean, generally speaking, decline in voter turnout is happening globally, and for local elections as well. So the turnout tends to be lower for local elections, but the the disengagement of voters is basically all around the globe.
Yeah, that's a tragedy, really. So for those who at this stage, so we've got those nominations opening on the 19th of July, where do they go to find out more about that, Marguerite?
So on our website, Vote Auckland is a place where you can go. You can, you'll be able to lodge your nomination in the Auckland Council Service Centres around the region or at the electoral office on Federal Street. And if you go to our website, all the information is there, to including an email, which is elections@aucklandcouncil.gov.nz if you've got any questions.
Great. Well, we love elections here at Waiheke Radio. We're really looking forward to it. We'll be doing our normal thing of recording and broadcasting candidate statements, candidate interviews and candidate meetings. So all of that happening. I mean, is there much of that happening? You know, we see a lot of coverage of, the mayoral race. But are these local board races, are they getting a lot of coverage, Marguerite?
There's not as much coverage. And this is why sort of more local radio, radios like you, it's fantastic that you're covering it, because actually local board members do make the local decisions for communities. So they are the decisions that people tend to see more on the ground, you know, your kids' playgrounds, your local parks, the local events that are happening. All of this is the local boards, and that touches you on an everyday basis, and that's very true in Waiheke, you know, as a smaller community. So we really rely on the more local media to cover that. So it's great that you're doing that.
Well, look, thanks very much for joining us this morning. We appreciate taking time out on your Saturday morning. Marguerite Del Bay, who is the General Manager of Democracy Services for Auckland Council. Thank you very much.
Thank you.